In Chicago, in neighborhoods where illegal guns are commonplace, the resulting epidemic of gun violence has authorities on the hunt for gun dealers. Reporter Mick Dumke wanted to learn more about how that hunt works, so he dug into the case of one man arrested for moving some of those illegal weapons. Dumke's story is produced by WBEZ, ProPublica Illinois, and the Chicago Sun-Times as part of the WBEZ series Every Other Hour.
If the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives wanted to catch a big-time player in Chicago's gun trafficking, John Thomas was not their guy. Prior to this, he says he hadn't sold a single firearm. So how then, back in 2014, did he get caught up in an ATF sting? To understand that, you have to know a little about John. He grew up in an area of Chicago known for its history of violence, Terror Town.
Surviving over in the area I grew up, you had to be a hardball or steady yourself type person, because if you didn't, you would fall in the streets or you would end up 6 feet deep.
It's where John had family and friends, some of whom were homeowners and churchgoers. Others were caught up in drugs and gangs. John went back and forth between these worlds. John's a charmer and a small-time hustler. He is a rap sheet filled mostly with low-level, nonviolent offenses. But by late 2013, John says he wanted to go straight. He was 29, raising a 2-year-old daughter. He was looking for legit, legal work. But with a criminal record, there weren't a lot of options. John finally caught a break, though, and landed a job at a tobacco shop not far from Terror Town. But the pay was low, $25 a day.
I said, $25 a day? I said, I can't survive out there. I got a whole child and rent more. I said, I'll take it. What else could I do? I'll take it.
Right away, John starts making new connections.
At work one day, this guy, he come in there with a ponytail, I'll never forget. His name, Yusuf. He talking about some girls and hot weed and stuff.
By early 2014, John and Yusuf are hanging out, smoking weed and joking around together. Yusuf gets to know more about John, how little he makes, that he has friends back in Terror Town, that John has a daughter.
Weeks and weeks go down. He come to me, hey, bro, you want to make some masati, bro, some real money? I'm like, what you mean? He like, man, this $25, bro. He like, I got somebody right now, but you can make some real money off of. I say, wow, what you got to do? Bro, you got some guns? I say, boy, where we from? We don't sell guns.
But Yusuf keeps coming around, pestering John about guns. John keeps telling him no.
One day he coming in with a whole lot of money. I said, damn, bro, where you get that from? He like, bro, I told you, bro. Pop's hooking me up, bro. I said, who the f*** is Pop's?
Yusuf tells John that Pop's is a businessman he's working with to buy guns.
He said, you straight? You need something? I'm like, hell yeah, I need something. You know, he peeled me off a $100 bill or whatever. So I'm like, damn, I needed this.
Yusuf tells John that he can get good money now if he helps them, and that Pop's might be able to hook him up with something legit later. By late January 2014, John's financial outlook is still bleak. And the money Yusuf keeps offering him to set up gun buys, $100 for handguns, $150 for long guns, is too enticing, too easy. John bends. He makes a call.
At the time, I was thinking, like, how much trouble can I get just for a phone call, just hooking somebody up? So I call my cousin. His name's Steve. First thing when I asked him for a gun, first he, man, who you into it with? You all right? I said, nah, I'm cool. I'm like, man, they paying good money for a gun, man. He, you sure you know him? I'm like, yeah, he cool. He be up here with us. He said, all right. So he come up there. They went in the back. They handled their business. Yusuf came out. He gave me some money. I'm like, dang, I just made 200 quick bucks. Not doing nothing? Cool. All right.
And just like that, John brokers his first gun deal. There would be nearly 24 more. What John doesn't know is that Yusuf turns around and sells these guns for a profit. And what neither of them knows is that the people buying them are working for the government, including Pops. The ATF busts Yusuf. He agrees to work undercover as a confidential informant. The ATF wouldn't talk with us for this story. But John says, and court records confirm, that he and Yusuf are in regular contact in the months that follow, and many of their meetings and phone calls are secretly recorded. John likes the money, a lot, but he still wants legit work from Pops. He confronts Yusuf about it.
So I'm like, man, what's up, man? I need a job, you feel me? He said, Pops is going to hook you up.
Pops is not going to hook John up. In April of 2014, John helps arrange four deals involving a dozen guns. In May, it's seven transactions for 11 more. At some point, John says his conscience started to get to him.
I remember one day I said, "So what are you doing with all these guns, for real? If you get them off the street, I will help you." I'm like, "Because I'm against guns. You know, I got a daughter." He like, "Man, trust me, Batman, we get them off the street." I said, "All right, cool. The more off the street, the better."
Did you believe that? I mean, what did they mean by taking it off the street?
He told me that they were melting them down at a factory.
Did that seem believable to you? I mean, you're a pretty smart guy. You've seen...
Yeah, honestly, because the money that the pops was having, that was really tricked me.
Yeah, what kind of car you in?
It's May, and still pretty cool out, mid-40s.
You say you don't want my people what?
John is out with Yusuf. They're heading just outside the city to meet up with a guy for the first time. He's known as BD. His real name is Trayson Watson. Yusuf is wearing a wire.
We ain't worried about that.
Joey.
BD is pushing a semi-automatic rifle that looks like an AK-47 and a handgun reconfigured to fire like a machine gun.
That bitch A1, bro. Hold this bitch like New Jack City on stone.
Not everyone Yusuf buys from thinks the guns are being melted down. He tells some people he's sending the guns overseas. That's what he tells BD.
I told you my business is overseas. I don't fuck around in here. I don't go fuck. You got 10 murders on it. I don't go fuck. Count your love, bro.
By June, John has brokered the sale of more than two dozen guns. And then he calls Larry.
I met Larry McIntosh, which is 10, through a person I used to sell drugs from.
10 has access to a lot of weapons. Over the next 3 months, John brokers deals between 10 and Yusuf involving more than 40 guns, from little pistols to semi-automatic rifles. John, 10, Pops, and Yusuf arrange their biggest deal yet. It's set for Tuesday, August 26th, 2014.
I knew it should have been scary, though. You know, because I'm looking like, oh my f***ing God, they buying 17 guns at a time.
Then, early Tuesday morning, John gets a phone call.
Yusuf called me that morning. He was like, "Plans have changed. We got to meet Pops. We got to sit down." So I get dressed. I call my peoples. He came and picked me up. He took too long. So as I walk outside the gate, I see a white lady in a PT car. I'm like, "What the hell she doing in an Inglewood on 51st Street in the wee hours of the morning?" So I throw a left. I see some more white people in a van. I say, "Oh, yeah, this don't look right." So I turn around. I'm finna walk back in my building. My peoples pull up. I say, "Damn." I was finna call him and tell him forget the whole thing. We going up 53rd. I said, "Man, see, something funny about this." He like, "Man, they own us." I say, "Who own us?" So I see some crazy lights. These ain't regular police lights. I look up, it's a big old Suburban SUV in front of us. The guy getting out the car with the gun, he almost fell with it. It's so big. I'm like, "Dang." He grabbed me, throw me out. "Hey, what's your name?" I say, "John." He like, "John what?" He say, "Thomas." He like, "Yeah, that's you."
The ETF agents take John in.
We get there, and we end up talking to some nerdy guy with glasses.
"This is in space time. What happened today?"
That nerdy guy is a special agent with the ATF.
"This is based on things that have happened over the last 7 months."
He was thinking he's slick.
"You know where I'm going with this?"
He acts like he doesn't know why he's been brought in.
"Who is this? Don't act stupid."
On the table between them are several manila folders filled with pictures.
"You don't know them?"
They're still images, apparently pulled from the videos Yusuf has been secretly recording for the ATF. There are pictures of John's cousin Steve, BD, and John. John looks confused.
"You put all this together?"
Then he suddenly realizes who set him up.
I'm like, "Yusuf. Yeah, Yusuf." And I'm like, "Dad, Yusuf just called me 2 days ago, asked me was I okay, was my daughter cool, this and that." And he knew how I felt about it, and he knew I was weak. So at my weakest stage, he won. You know, he won. Honestly, he won because I needed the money. And he got me. He played me like a violin. He got me.
John wasn't the only one who got played by Yusuf. In total, 14 men were brought in that day. Most, but not all, got involved through John. 77 guns sounds like a lot, even to John Thomas. He says he messed up. He knows he messed up bad. But he still doesn't think he's played any part in Chicago's gun violence epidemic. John says he was never part of any gun sales before he met Youssef. Government prosecutors haven't disagreed. John's defense attorney argues that if government informants hadn't pursued him, John might never have brokered a single firearm. All of which raises a difficult question. Do cases like John's, government stings that essentially target low-level hustlers, do they actually break up gun networks or create them?
We leave you with that question. In September 2017, John Thomas was sentenced to 7 years in federal prison. In October, he reported to a medium security facility in central Illinois. Youssef is set to be sentenced in March. This story was reported by ProPublica Illinois' Mick Dumke, produced by WBEZ's Joe Dassault, and edited by WBEZ's Kate Cahan. It's Here and Now.